Good morning. If you want to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 23, this is going to be one of the probably the most unusual lessons. And most of my lessons are pretty unusual, but this is going to be a little different. But it's going to deal with where we are today in this world. Now, if you look at this chart up here,
you can't find the chart that says brother today.
I found it. I found it. Can you hear me? I know it. I've got two diagrams up here. You have the crucifixion, resurrection, paradise, taken up, 70 AD, the temple was destroyed, the age of the Gentiles continues, and the age of grace, the church age, continues for 2,000 years, and we're taken out. That's the way the Bible is laid out now. If the Jews would have accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah and their Savior, Jesus Christ still would have went to the cross. He would still took paradise up. The time of Jacob's trouble would have began shortly after that. And then Jesus Christ would have ascended, 1,000-year reign, white throne judgment, and eternity begins. Now, we're going to be dealing with where we are and why we are in this place that we're in today. We're going to cover from trees to the sun to the moon. But the main subject today is Barabbas. Who was Barabbas? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, it says, "For we now see through a glass darkly, but when face to face, now I know in part, but when then shall I know even as I am known." We're looking through a glass, and that glass is the Word of God. And we look through it darkly. We don't know everything in this book, but the more you read, the closer you get to the Lord and knowing the Lord. And this is the only way you can do it, is by reading this book. But when we get to heaven, we run into another glass, a sea of glass. And we'll be in our glorified bodies. And I've taught this before. When you get to heaven, you're going to be prostrate on the ground before the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to be face down. And you're going to be looking at this sea of glass, and you're going to see your reflection. And then we're going to be ecstatic, because what we see in that reflection will be an image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be conformed to His image. We'll look like Him. We won't look like ourselves anymore. We'll look like Him. We'll be like Him. We'll know Him as well as we know our own self. And the more you study this book, the more you find out we don't know nothing about Him. But in this, we're going to be looking at chapter 23 of Luke, verse 13, and we'll probably get to verse 45. But what you're going to see is not just the crucifixion of Christ. You're going to see the future. And you're going to see exactly why things are happening the way they're happening. Let's begin. I'm excited. But before we go, let's pray. Our dear, precious Heavenly Father, my blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that this lesson goes through the hearts of Christians and and gets them ready for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you're in control, not us. The devil thinks he's in control, but he isn't. Lord, you're in control. And everything that's happening now has been planned and closely guarded by you. And we know that you're in control, so we shouldn't worry about anything. Blessed be your name, for asking in Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke chapter 23, verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together his chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. Now remember that. One that perverteth the people. What are they saying about Christians today? We're perverting the people. And behold, I, having examined him, have found no fault in this man touching the things which thereof you accused him of. No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. When you get to the next verse, verse 17, it says, for of a necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And Pilate wanted to release Jesus. You know, most rulers, good rulers, peaceful rulers, don't want trouble. And here they had a man in Jerusalem, in Israel, that healed the sick, made the lame to walk, caused the blind to see, cleansed the lepers. Everyone that got around Jesus got healed. That's a good asset for a country. You don't need hospitals. You don't need doctors. You don't need all this medicine. Everyone's happy because everyone's healthy. And they cried out at once, verse 18, away with this man and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 16, it says he's noble, a notable. That word, we use it as notorious today. Sedition, trying to cause an uprising, causing riots, and causing death and destruction. This is the man they wanted to be released on the public. But he wasn't alone. Mark chapter 15, verse 7 says, there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, in that made insurrection with him. So there's two other people in prison with him. They hung on both sides of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had committed murder and insurrection. Isn't it amazing that today your government considers you a terrorist? You're an insurrectionist because you will not go along with the perversions of today. We are watching the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ right before our eyes for insurrection. Wouldn't it be something if Barabbas, released from prison, was partially responsible for the uprising in 70 AD when Israel was destroyed? Keep that in mind. What you're looking at down here is you're looking at from here to here is slapping together. The age of grace is over with. The age of The age of the Gentiles is about finished. And you're seeing it all come back together. Just like it was in the days of Christ. When he was being crucified. Do you see that? That's why everything is happening so quickly. Today, we have Antifa. We have Black Lives Matter. We have woke. We have critical race theory. We have all these vile things happening in our country and all over the world. It's just not here. If you looked at Australia, they are in a prison. The whole country's under a prison. They won't let them go anywhere. They can't do anything. And they have to have their passports and their papers. And if the police text you, you have a certain amount of time to text them back and give them your location, or they come and get you and throw you in a prison. This is happening all over the world. Get ready. You know, if they would have took, they put, they exiled Lenin right before the Bolshevik Revolution. And they allowed him to come back into the country. And they killed millions. And then Stalin got in power and killed 60 million estimated people. Adolf Hitler was in prison. He was supposed to be there for 5 years. He got 9 months and they let him out. He got into power. And over 60 million people around the world died because of the Hitler. What if Barabbas was released? And I've heard the stories, you know, that Barabbas got saved and all this stuff. And Barabbas knew more about the plan of salvation more than anybody. He was convicted, tried, and he was going to be hung that day on the cross. And he's standing next to it, and you see this picture over here, you got Jesus flogged on one side, and you got Barabbas the reformer on the other. They chose the reformer. Just like America today, we want reform. We want to be reformed. We want everything to change. This is what change gives you. Anarchy, chaos, and death. It's happened over and over again through history, and they're going to do it again. You know what the new vaccine is called today? The vaccine? Well, they've updated it a little bit. It's no longer called a vaccine. The vaccine is now called a mandatory software update for a human operating system. That's what it's called. What are they talking about? I thought it was supposed to kill germs. We're living in the last days. We're living in the right before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Are you ready? Christians today and people with conservative views that have made themselves known are being thrown into prisons in this country. And they have no representation. You say, no, that's against the Constitution. Back in 2011, Barack Obama signed the National Defense Authorization Act. I read it when it first came out. And anyone they declare a terrorist can be imprisoned indefinitely without representation. And they're doing that right now. We're not living in Kansas anymore. Luke chapter 23, verse 20 says, Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again unto them, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. What evil has he done? And they were instant in loud voice, verse 23, requiring that he might be crucified. They were insistent that that man that did so much good be crucified. Now, Jesus Christ came for the sole purpose of dying on the cross. It's funny that the only one that didn't want him to die was Herod and Pilate, two evil men. But they weren't as evil as the priest and the high priest and the rest of them. Then they cried in John chapter 19, verse 15. Pilate says, would you have me kill your king? And they said, we have no king but Caesar. Huh? They brought a curse down on themselves. And I know some people don't believe in curses, but when you speak an oath, God will honor that oath. And for the next 2,000 years, Jews were being chased all over Europe because they were Jews. They were ruled by tyrants, and they were all connected to Rome. And they're still connected to Rome. It's awful quiet in here. In Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, if you want to look it up for yourself, it says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Who was standing up there next to Pilate? God. The Lord Jesus Christ. And they were saying, we have no king but King Caesar. The King of kings and the Lord of lords, they said that too. And the only reason they didn't know who he was, they didn't look through their glass to find out who he was. The first insurrectionists wasn't Barabbas, it was a guy called Lucifer. And man, when you start studying Lucifer, you come in some really wild stuff. We'll get to this in a second. This is a tree. This is a tree cut down, and this is a mountain that looks like a tree. This is the rings of a mountain that at one time was a tree. This is miles and miles across. This is the same one. This is one of the trees of Lebanon. It's a mountaintop, a mesa. They study these things over in Lebanon. They used to be trees. These trees are found all over the world. Things are not as they seem. When they talk about history and archaeology and stuff, they don't want you to know this stuff. And there's a lot more that you don't want to know. Isaiah chapter 14 talks about the first insurrection. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Lucifer, at one time, he was right there on top of the throne. He was the light. He provided music. He was the most beautiful of all God's creation. And you have the four cherubims around the throne. And he was proud of everything that he had owned and done, and he was ruling over this. He was the reflection of the light on this earth. That reflection today is the church. The church is a reflection of the sun in the hours of darkness. The Bible says we're in the hour of darkness. But the day dawn is about to ready to break loose. But until then, we're the light of the world, a reflection of that light. Satan is the dark side. When Satan rebelled against God, God cast him out of the light into darkness. He's a ruler of darkness. If you don't believe that, just dabble in some dark things and you'll meet him. But he's always, every time you see him around in statues and stuff, he's carrying a lantern, holding a lantern up. If you go to Rockefeller Center, you'll see this golden naked guy flying through the air with a lamp. That's Lucifer. He's not the morning star. He was just a reflection. This light reflected on him and out, just like the moon. Now, when he rebelled, he went into darkness. And he loves the moon, the dark side of the moon. Men love darkness rather than light. Now, he wanted to be the sun, the bright morning star, but he ain't. That's why the devil likes these new Bibles so much. It portrays Lucifer as the morning's bright morning star. No, he's not. He's the devil. He's over darkness. There's only one sun. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the bright and morning star. Go to chapter 22 of Revelations, and he says, I am the bright and morning star. When you get to 2 Peter chapter 1:19, says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that we take heed as unto a light that shineth in darkness, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. And that ain't Lucifer. Luke chapter 23:24. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as he required, and he released unto them that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, and then they gave Jesus over to be crucified. We're seeing so much anarchy going on in this world. They burn cities, they burn businesses, they kill people, they rape women. And what happens to them? That's their right. But you have a peaceful protest? That's wrong. You go to church? No, you shouldn't do that. COVID, you know. Now we're going to get some really deep stuff. In Luke chapter 23, verse 27, and there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. And Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughter of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the day is coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never give suck. I believe that that's prophecy. I believe that that's for now. Because remember, the church age now we're at the end. The Lord Jesus Christ is about to come back. The doors are closing. Missionaries can't get back on the field. Church doors are closing all over the place. We're one of the few that still remain open. Weep for your children, because hell is about to come, and it's called the great it's called the tribulation and the wrath of God. Now look at this in verse 29. It says, "Behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren.'" You know what they're saying about this vaccine for young people? And this will probably get banned all over. Do you know that it does alter your DNA? Do you know what it's going to do to the next generation? God help us. Blessed are the barren, and the womb that never bear, and the paps that never give suck. Christians around the world need to start praying that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back as soon as they can. All over our country, children are going to schools. And if you're not down on your knees praying for your children and your grandchildren, you need to get down there. Because there's teachers out there teaching your children. Maybe you're a girl, and I'm a boy. Well, maybe you are a girl. Maybe you ought to consider being a girl. Or maybe you ought to consider being a guy. Or maybe you ought to consider being a transvestite. Maybe you ought to consider this and that. Your children are being bombarded every day with this stuff. A lot of teachers have quit because they don't want to teach this stuff. And God bless them. Luke chapter 23:30 is one of the strangest verses in the Bible. "Then shall they begin to say unto the mountain, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall they be done in the dry?" When you look at that verse, you know what the one about the mountains falling on us. That's during the tribulation when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Nobody wants to be around when that happens, because when he gets back, he's going to be really mad, and it ain't going to be pleasant for anyone. But said, what if they do these things in a green tree, what shall they do in the dry? Now, I got a big picture of a tree down here. That's an evergreen or a cedar tree. You see all the little trees down there? When you look at this picture here, and you can look at it, this was a tree. This whole area down here are trees. Cedar trees. It looks like a lawn compared to this thing. You're welcome to look at these. In fact, I encourage you to, because it's an eye-opener. What you've been taught is not the way it is. Satan doesn't want you to know what he was. Let me go back to the back here where it talks about the green trees. Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 8. You might want to write this down and read it later, because there's a whole lot here. It says in Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 8, says, "The cedar in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and his chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. He was big. You see the little trees I put down here on the bottom? And that big cedar tree? That's what we're talking about. Now, I don't believe that Satan is a tree, but God is using typology here to show you what Satan is. He dwarfs everyone else. The other trees envied him because he was so big and he was so powerful. And he gave light and music in the garden of God. We're talking about heaven. And he was so proud of himself that he fell. And then he shows up again in the garden of God, in Garden of Eden later on. And he's probably a cedar tree. Now, Dr. Jin Kim teaches that this cedar tree had a grape tree next to it, and that grape tree wrapped around the cedar tree, because we're going to get here in a minute about his bearing fruit. Now, cedar trees don't bear fruit, but this one did. And he had a serpent in that tree, along with the grapes, dangling off of the tree. Now, if you want to get the closest type of that today, you put one up around December 25th every day, and you bow down to it and put the little bulbs on it, the bulbs on it, and then you decorate it, and then you put presents under it, and then you tell your kids, get down to that tree and reach in there and pull your present out and be sure to be thankful. Does that open some eyes? I hope it did. Our thinking is so controlled. Never mind that Jesus Christ was not born on December 25th. Never mind that it's a winter solstice and all kinds of satanic things go on during that time. Never mind that, and I don't care, you know, we buy presents for the kids, we do all that, but I won't have a tree in my house. If you want to know where the best description of a tree is, go to Jeremiah chapter 10. It will tell you exactly what that tree is. In Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 23, it says, in the mountains, in the height of Israel, will I plant it, and it shall bring forth brass and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell all fowls of every wing. Now, fowls in the Bible are always a reference to demons. And we're not talking about your little birdie friends out there that, you know, I spend thousands of dollars a year feeding, thanks to my wife. Just had to throw that in. But it lives in the shadow of the branches. And whenever you get fowls, you get decay and corruption. Verse 24, and all the trees of the field shall know that I am God, have brought down the high tree. He brought that thing down. When Satan was in the Garden of Eden and he brought that tree, he went from that to this little bush right here, a little Brahmal bush. Go to Judges chapter 9. He goes down to that, a sticker bush. He goes from light to darkness. It's always a degrading thing. And just like man, we're not evolving like you would think. We're devolving. we're going down. Our intelligent level is down. We're not as smart as our ancestors used to be. All you have to do is read some of their writings. The writings are poetic. It's because they had a book to read. And they read it, they absorbed it, they talked like it, and they wrote like it. And man, today, if it wasn't for some of these things that the devil's been giving us, we wouldn't have technology. We'd still be in a horse and buggy stuff. But the world has to get to this point in order for the Antichrist to show up and the Lord to take us out of here. The dry ground. Who's the dry ground? Or the dry tree? He's brought the high tree down, but look what he says. I have exalted the low tree and have dried up the green tree and have made the dry tree to flourish. Who's the dry tree? Isaiah 53, verse 2. Let me read it to you. For he shall grow up before you as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He's the dry tree. He's the one that's going to be exalted. He's the one that's going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years, and then a white throne judgment, and then he's going to take us into eternity. And I can't wait. There's one thing that Lord Jesus Christ can't do. He can't come soon enough for me. I want to go home. That was a quote from Dr. Ruckman. The Lord died because he came to die for us. He lived a perfect life with no sin. He went to the cross because he wanted to go to the cross. He wanted to die for us and to give us life. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 is, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, and he also likewise took part of the same, that brought death, he might, through death, he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil. He delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And that's us. Thank God for Jesus Christ. When they were nailing Jesus Christ on the cross in verse 34, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's my God. Always thinking about me. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? The world is still scoffing our Lord. He said he was going to come back. It's been 2,000 years and he still hasn't come back. And everything is just like it was at the beginning. Nothing's changed. I mean, open your eyes, man. You can see the change. If you can't, you're blind. One of the malefactors that was with Barabbas, he speaks out. He's a liberal. How do you know he's a liberal? He never takes responsibility. A liberal never takes responsibility. He's always, well, if this hadn't happened, if you hadn't have done this, then this wouldn't have happened and I wouldn't have been in this mess. It's your fault. Every time you turn around, we have people visiting our church. They come down here, they cry and they weep, and then they go out the door and you never see them again. They're in this belief that let's make a deal with God. Get me out of my situation And I'll give you curtain number one or curtain number two. You take your pick. It doesn't work like that. There's no place in the Bible that says God came to die on a cross for my bad judgment. No, he came to die on the cross because I have an automatic nature that is flawed, that is going to send me to hell. And if I don't get born again, I'm going to go to that hell. And he found mercy. He had mercy and he showed me grace. And he gave me the faith to believe. And here I am today. Thank God. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. If I be the Christ, come down and save yourself. You've got to love the next guy. He's just as guilty as Barabbas. He's just as guilty as the liberal. But this man comes with a contrite heart and a humble spirit. And he speaks from his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God hears him. He says, "Dost thou not fear God?" Verse 40. "Seeing thou art the same condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." I've watched him over the years. He's done nothing but good. Amen. He healed my grandmother. He healed my grandfather. Everyone that got around him got healed. He's great. And they're hanging him on the cross for something Barabbas did? And Jesus said unto He said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. Verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." When you look at this and you see this man's faith and the graciousness of the Lord hanging on the cross, still willing to save people while suffering and dying on the cross, oh, what a Savior. I read about this years ago, but I thought I'd throw this in. People say, well, the crucifixion never really happened. It's just a story. But the Bible says in verse 45, "And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." I did a study on the veil and the temple and all that stuff years ago. And one thing that amazed me, that temple had a veil in it. That veil was that thick, a foot thick. They would take this veil, which was huge, they would tie ropes on it and oxen, and they would stretch that thing out, and the women would crawl underneath it looking for a little bit of light that was coming through. Because if a little bit of light got through that thing, when God came down to accept his sacrifice, someone would die. So they... If they seen any light, they would toss it aside and weave another one, tightly weaved. When the temple shook and the veil rent, that veil was so strong it should have pulled the temple down with it. But it didn't. Darkness covered the earth from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. The Chinese recorded it in their history books. This is what it says. Summer, fourth month, on the way of Renwu. The imperial edict reads, "Yin and Yang have mistakenly switched." Yin and Yang, day and night, switched. mistakenly switched. The sun and the moon were eclipsed. The sins of all the people are now on one man. They had more faith and wisdom than the high priest had. They knew what was going on. And it goes on to talk about, you know, in this article, it talks about how the Chinese worshipped the God of heaven right after the flood for years. And I think I taught on that. And their language is based off of that. And it's amazing what the Chinese language has in it. I don't know how they got to the point where they're at now. But the emperor says he proclaimed a pardon to all under heaven. He released all the prisoners because one man took the sins of the world on himself for those 3 hours. And darkness prevailed. But then light prevailed. Pilate wrote Caesar Augustus about those 3 hours. And I got to quit, and I've got a lot more, but I'm not going to get through it. But I think this is amazing. Pilate wrote the Caesar Augustus. Now when he was crucified, there was darkness all over the world. And the sun was obscured for half a day, and the stars appeared, and they have no luster, was seen in them, and the moon lost its brightness, as though tinged with blood. What happens in the last days? The moon turns to blood, doesn't it? How would he know that? The world of the departed was swallowed up, so that the very sanctuary of the temple, as they call it, did not appear to the Jews themselves as their fall, but they perceived a chasm in the earth and the rolling successive thunders. That must have been quite a day, a scary day. But of course, the world denies it happens. The world doesn't want you to know about the past. They only want you to know about the present, because knowledge is power, and the dumber you are, the more power they have over you. And that's what we're facing. The Antichrist is about to come, and we're seeing that more and more every day. And if you got your vaccine, that's okay. I don't blame anyone for getting a vaccine. I'm not going to get it, but that's okay. You can, for years, they've been talking about this quantum leap in evolution. And they started the transhumanism, and they started the breeding with animals and humans and all that stuff, and creating these chirums, and it's a mess. No one has ever seen evolution. No one has ever seen what can take place when evolution, because it doesn't exist. So now the scientists want to force it by putting DNA into your body to cause you to mutate into something different. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think it's going to affect anyone here. But I think what the big question is, what's it going to do to our children's children? No one knows that. Because once you change DNA, it's just like these new Bibles. This is God's DNA. This is God. This is a record of his DNA. And if you ever studied anything about DNA, your DNA is read millions of times a day. And it goes through a book with, you know, a book that's about that high. And it digitally goes and pulls out what it needs, attaches it to stem cell, and that stem cell turns into whatever they want it, your body wants it to turn into. It's an amazing process. But if you add something in there, you change it. Or if you take something away from it, you change it. When you look at these new Bibles, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to go in there and prove them wrong. All you have to do is read it and compare Scripture, and you'll find that this is a superior book of all books. And it's amazing what you can dig out of it. Let's pray. Our dear and Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. And we thank you, Lord, for the precious and holy word. And we thank you, Lord, for not leaving us in the dark, Lord, that we're not of the dark, children of the dark, we're children of the day. And Lord, you've given us your word to live by, to go by, and to know that we are your children and that you're in control and you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we pray for your coming. We pray for the pastor as he preaches today, Lord, and pray for the music, that it will bless you and glorify your holy and righteous name. For I ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one true God. Amen.